Invite you now to join me in the reading of the New Testament lesson from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, beginning with a verse numbered 16, ending with a verse numbered 20. And I chose the message translation for the passages today because they are well known to us. We've heard them many, many times, and the Message gives us an opportunity to listen fresh and new. Now let us give faithful attention to the reading of God's Word and listen fresh and new. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. May God bless us as we search and study the Scriptures this morning. I was out taking a walk this week. I try to walk every evening or sometime during the day for at least a half an hour, a very brisk walk. I do that. If I put less food in my mouth, it would be better for me going forward, so I'm trying to work on that as well. But anyhow, I was out taking my half an hour walk, and I walked past a church, and I noticed a new sign that they had out in front of the church. It was, as you leave the parking lot, when you entered the parking lot, you couldn't read it. But when you left, you saw you are now entering the mission field. Some churches put that in the back of their sanctuary or on the doors as people go out. I'd like a bunch of those signs. That was a great sign. You are now entering the mission field as you enter the world. And we see Jesus taking that same approach in his ministry, that same stance. Jesus goes out. He goes out to Galilee preaching the message of God. Time's up. The kingdom of God is here. Change your life. That's what repent means. Change your life and believe the message. Have faith, in other words. And he recruits disciples, and he takes them with him out into the world. Notice he doesn't set up a school. Come on, 12, we'll huddle off for 3 months by ourselves, or 6 months, or a year. I have much that I have to teach you. I have to pour this knowledge into your mind, and then we'll go out. No, they go out immediately. He doesn't isolate them from the world. The world was his classroom. Life was the classroom for faith. People are his interest, and so they go out into the world. And when he was ready to turn it all over to the disciples, when he had died and resurrected and came back and appeared to them, when he's ready to turn it over to them, he gives them the same message. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out. Train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in all the practice that I have commanded you. I'll be with you day after day after day as you go out into the world. Go out there, get into the mission field of the world. Go, make disciples, train everyone in my way of life. Baptize, instruct, teach them. It's an outward journey. The inward journey is important, but it takes place amongst the outward journey for Jesus as they huddle off and pray. But they are most definitely out in the world. Yesterday, we had two groups serving in the community going out into the world. We were outwardly focused in what we were doing. Now, that doesn't mean that we didn't relate to each other and enjoy each other, and so there was an inward focus too. But primarily, we were outwardly focused. We had nearly 60 people going to two destinations, St. John's Mobile Food Pantry at St. John's Lutheran Church, and there's lots and lots of pictures, but I'll show you a few, but we're going to do a music video. So let's get to the next slide, and we can see St. John's, and there are all the folks in the sanctuary gathering to do what they are going to do, to serve food. Dale told me some 12 tons. We donated $1,550 to help with that effort, as we've done before. Next slide. Here you can see, I believe, where the food comes in. Lots of things happening. Next slide. And there are some of our folks, but we will put this together in a music video. There are lots of pictures, lots and lots of things to celebrate. We also had a group go to Morningstar Mission Warehouse. Next slide. And we were taking food out of these large containers that donated food from different grocery stores, Ultra Foods, other places. These were filled. We had to put all the food onto tables and sort it and then put it into boxes. Next slide. When you got down to the bottom of the box, someone had to climb in there, and Wayne was eager to do that. Next slide. And he passed off the food to us, and so it went. But it was a great, great day. The outward journey, next slide, is vitally important for the church in every and any age, and so much so today. And today I want to emphasize more the outward journey, and not so much the inward journey, although it is just as important too for Christmas for Christians, because we'll run out of energy without the inward journey. But the outward journey. And in our 3 to 5 year mission ministry plan, there's a lot of outward journey in it, and there's inward journey as well. The front page is what I'm most interested in. It's probably the newest part to you, although it's been fine-tuned throughout. Our mission, we are called to be servants of Jesus Christ. We talk about that often throughout the years. We are in ministry to each other. The Holy Spirit works in our lives, guides, inspires us, and then we are in ministry to each other. That's our ministry, to our inward journey, part of that. And then to our community and to our world, and that's very much an outward journey. In response to God's grace, we dream and we talk and we put together ministry and mission plans, and then we seek to live them out. The guiding principles, we're talking about at the session level. Definitely have an outward focus, the first two. Discipleship, go, make, train. We need an outward focus in today's world and in this time in which we find the church and our society. Our prayer life is our inward journey. Part of that. Our worship is our inward journey. It sustains us for the outward journey. It's about propelling us back into the world, equipping us, giving us the energy that we need from God and from each other to go back out into the world. Over the last year and a half or so, we've had congregational input. We've had day deacons, night deacons, and elders work on this. Then we had the session finish it up and put it together. And we were looking at living church practices because we believe that they helped us understand what it means to be a servant of Christ in the world and in the church today. And they both have an outward journey and an inward journey, an outward focus and an inward focus. Irresistible hospitality. The inward focus would be our hospitality to each other, our love and our care for one another. But then we need to take that out into the world and love other people irresistibly. And you can go through each one: passionate worship, risk-taking mission and service, extravagant generosity, intentional faith development, both inside the church and outside the church. We have to be outwardly focused with our faith as Jesus was in his ministry and still is. It's a very challenging time to be the church today. In our life and time, it might be more challenging in most of our lives, our lifetimes today, than ever before. Bo was at a seminar a week ago as part of Presbytery meeting, and the leader at the seminar said 80% of the churches in the United States right now, 80% of the churches in the United States are not growing. That's a lot of churches. And I want to share with you briefly five trends that the Barna Group talks about. The Barna Group is the Gallup pollsters of the church world. They look at what's going on in the world, what's going on in the church, and they provide knowledge so we can navigate in a changing world. As Jesus went out into the world and sent his disciples into the world, he understood the world of his day so that he could navigate that world, so that he could speak the message of the good news of the kingdom of God in that particular world to particular people in particular time and place, to take the gospel. So we too need to understand the world in which we live. Number one, secularization is on the rise in our country. More than one-third of the adult population in the United States, 38%, describe themselves as secular in our country in belief and practice. That means they don't need God. They have a post-Christian outlook in terms of their identity, their beliefs, and behaviors. The United States is becoming more and more of a mission field. 10% of this group are highly secularized, the Barna research found. 28% are moderately post-Christian, but the highly secularized numbers are slowly growing. Not rapidly, but slowly growing. Number two, people are less open to the idea of church today than they were in the 90s or in the 50s, as some of us were growing up. Now, the best way to get people to church is to invite them. Still the best way. Invite, invite, invite. In the 1990s, two-thirds of the folks in our country, 65%, were interested in being invited. Today, that percentage has slipped to a little lower than half, 47%. Almost half would like to be invited. Inviting works. People are less open to church today than they were back in the 90s. Church is no longer as mainstream as it once was. One out of seven, 14% of people in the 1990s, had not experienced church, knew nothing about church in their lifetime. Today, that's increased to almost 25%. And so church is becoming unfamiliar in more people's lives in our very own country, in our neighborhoods, in our streets, with the people that we work with than ever before. Yet, on the other hand, there's still a majority of unchurched people who have had some experience with the church. Fourth, there are different expectations of church involvement. In the 1990s, the research showed that 70% of people were interested in attending Sunday worship. Today, ask the same question, and that's dropped to 57%, that they would be interested in attending worship as a starting point. So inviting is still a good thing. Today's unchurched are more likely to say that they're not really sure, not really interested in Sunday worship. That number is 16%. In the 90s, it was 8%. It reflects a cultural indifference to the church involvement. So more and more and more, the world in which you and I live is a mission field for Christ. And then five, there's skepticism about the church's contribution to society today. Does the church really make a viable contribution to our society, people wondered. The unchurched were asked to describe what they believe are the positive and negative contributions to the church, and almost half, 49% of unchurched people said they could not identify a single favorable impact of the local church. 37% couldn't identify a negative impact, but some of the negative numbers are starting to grow. So there's some skepticism on the part of folks about church. Do churches really matter? Do they really make a difference? Will they make a difference in my life and in the world and in places where I live? So it's more challenging today to do church than when many of us were growing up. But remember, the early